Gatherings of people being what they are these days, let's all go back in time and get together there. How about 200 years ago, Edo-era Japan? It's summer, of course. Obon, actually. You'll notice we're in a modest-sized village, dusty streets, houses of wood, with thick washi paper windows and ceramic-tiled roofs. There is a line of paper oil lanterns winding through the road, and if we follow it, it'll take us to the cemetery. 2 days ago, you weren't here, but it was the first day of Obon, and everyone practiced Mukaibi. That is, they waited until dusk, when the sky turns a soft blue, the cicada quiet, and the heat lets up just a little. And one by one, the families gathered at their front gates or doors, where they kneeled around a single unglazed plate. In the plate, they piled a bunch of peeled hemp stems called ogara. They then lit them on fire and pressed their hands together in prayer. Kono hi o mejurushi ni, ie ni kaite kudasai. Please use this fire to find your way home. They were speaking to their ancestors, spirits that have just been released from the world of the dead and are flying or crawling or riding those quick cucumber horses so they can rejoin our world for a few days. You see, in the past, there have been mistakes, confusion, and sometimes a soul ends up lost or in the wrong home. This practice of Mukaibi ensures that this doesn't happen. Each spirit follows the light and smoke of their family's fire. But that was 2 days ago. Today, again, the sun is starting to set, the heat slightly dissipating. Look around. We're all dressed in colorful yukata or jinbei, wearing straw or wooden shoes. We've got paper fans. Some of us, I see, are wearing masks. There's a few kitsune, fox masks, and there's a hyotoko. You know, the goofy mask of the man with a white face and red cheeks. A tenugui bandana tied around his head, and his mouth is pursed and kind of skewed to the side. I wonder who that is. Listen. Do you hear that? It's time for Bonodori. The entire village will be there. Uncanny Japan is author me, Teresa Matsura, exploring all that is weird from old Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales. Cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing, and I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show.
This episode is supported by Sonnet. Listening to podcasts shouldn't be hard, but so many podcast apps on Android are cluttered and confusing. With its modern, clean design and extremely user-friendly interface, Sonnet makes it easier for those on Android to discover new shows, listen, subscribe, and get notified of latest episodes. Best of all, it's free. Click on the link in the description to listen to Uncanny Japan on Sonnet.
Hey, hey, Uncanny Japaners, Uncanny Japanites, Uncanny Japanese. Okay, I'll stop. Tweet me if you know what super cool podcaster I was channeling just now. I think the heat might be getting to me. Today's high is 37 degrees. That's 98 to my fellow Americans. And I can't record with the air conditioner on, so it's getting a little warm. Anyway, I hope you are all well and not too hot or cold, depending on where you are in the world. I have a little news. I was in the Japan Times twice in the past 2 weeks. Once with a little piece called Top Podcast About the Land of the Rising Sun, written by Claire Williamson. That was a very pleasant surprise. I didn't even know it was coming out. Thank you, Google Alerts, for letting me know, and Claire for including me on that very lovely list. The second article wasn't about the podcast per se, but about my writing and books. The title was Chilling Japanese Ghost Tales with Contemporary Twists to Help You Beat the Summer Heat. It was written by Chris Kosaka, and she also talked about Aoko Matsuda's book, Where the Wild Ladies Are, and Barry Yorgrau and his Tokyo Ghost Gaga. I hope I didn't butcher his name too badly. So if you'd like to read either or both of those, that was the Japan Times, and I do believe they're online. Okay, on to today's topic. I talked about Obon way back in episodes 8 and 9. There, I mentioned the ancestral ghosties riding cucumbers and eggplants, in case you were wondering what that was about. So I won't go into any more details about that, but they are there if you'd like to listen to them. But there is one thing I didn't cover in those two episodes, and that was Bon Odori, or Bon Dancing. When I think of summer in Japan, I think of stag beetles, cold noodles, finely shaved strawberry ice with condensed milk drizzled on top, the most gorgeous and colorful fireworks you'll ever see, and the summer festivals everywhere that culminate around Bon Odori. One theory as to the origins of the Bon Dance is that the monk Kuya Shonen, born in 903, came up with a practice called Ninbutsu Odori. While traveling around Japan, he was shocked that people didn't really know that much about the Buddha and his teachings. After some thought, he got an idea. He traveled again, but this time he went around beating a small drum, dancing a funky little dance, and chanting the sutras. Rightly so, this got the people's attention, especially children who copied him. The monk Kuya then continued traveling, dancing, and singing with the belief that he was educating these lay folk about Buddhism. This continued after his death, and it was called Ninbutsu Odori. There was also another practice where during Obon, monks would go around and dance in a circle outside a person's home while reciting prayers to their deceased relatives. So throughout the years, these two practices mixed with local traditions and dances became what we know today as Bon Odori. It's said that there are two types of Bon dance. Dento, or traditional dancing, which is the older version that I just mentioned, and Minyo, which uses folk songs and was developed after World War II. But the truth is, my whole purpose of today's show is to admit that I was never really enthralled with Bon Odori until one day I was talking to a friend who said that the entire reason for it and why you see so many people wearing masks is so the ancestors, who you'll remember have left the world of the dead and are in town for a few days, can also participate in the fun. That gives a whole new slant on this nighttime gathering, the only lights being these drooping strings of paper lanterns, the jangling rhythmical to the point of being hypnotic music, and the masks. Throughout Japan, there are so many different kinds of dances and music and ways of celebrating. But let me introduce you briefly to the Sandai Bon Odori, or top three Obon dances, and touch a tiny bit on what makes them interesting. Let's start up north with one I just learned about, but is actually the one that convinced me to do today's show. It's performed in Akita Prefecture, during Obon, of course, and it's called Nishimonnai. It's been around for at least 700 years, and has been designated a national intangible folk culture property. There are two different styles of dress the dancers wear. One is the pretty yukata summer dress, in indigo, white, yellow, red, tied with a thin obi around the waist. Nothing out of the ordinary there. But the dancers all wear these woven, half-moon-shaped hats that are pulled down way low so you can't see their faces at all. It's very beautifully spooky. The second style is again yukata, but instead of the hat, the dancer is wearing a dark cloth completely covering their face. There are some eye holes, but unless you look really hard, you can't see them. The music, dance, lyrics, and kakegoe, the men calling out to the music, is quite mesmerizing. You can imagine, as the night wears on, everyone becoming a little dizzy and drunk on the atmosphere, how easily it would be for an ancestor or two to slip into the line and dance alongside everyone else. Especially with all those hidden faces. So that one is called Nishimonnai. Number two is Gujo Odori. Gujo Odori takes place every summer in Gifu, in the small city of Gujo. It started about 400 years ago in the Tokugawa era as a way to get the entire town to come together and celebrate no matter what a person's societal level or position. So what's special about Gujo Odori? Well, first, there is a series of 10 songs that are played over and over again, not just one or two. Second, if you have particularly good dancing technique, you very well could be chosen to receive a certificate. But the word certificate doesn't do this cool, frameable paper justice. It's brush inked with vermilion stamps, and it sounds like it's a big deal if you get one. And lastly is that the festival starts in the middle of July and is danced nightly for an entire month, ending with the 4 days of Obon, when the upwards of 250,000 people who have come from all over start dancing at sunset and keep going all night long until the sun rises again. Which I would guess would make the chances of bumping into great-grandma or great-grandpa a little higher, don't you think? Okay, the third dance of the big three is Awa Odori. And I think this one is my favorite. I literally get goosebumps when I hear the music and watch the dancing. And I've never even seen it in real life. But as soon as the world gets back to normal, you can bet that I'm going to be making the trip down to Tokushima Shikoku, along with 1.3 million other tourists. Seriously, in normal times, that's how many people attend the four-day-long festival. The funny thing is, I discovered Awa Odori from a Japanese music video. The band is called Yura Yura Teikoku, and the song is Yakosei no Ikimono Sanbiki. And the entire video is three men dressed in yukata, wearing the Hyotoko mask, the one I described earlier with the white face, the cheeks, the tenugui wrapped around the heads, and the mouth kind of pursed to the side. Well, the men are holding fans, and for an entire almost 4 minutes, they are dancing Awa Odori. I cannot describe exactly how cool it is. The hand movements, the things they're doing with their feet, the energy, and it's a good song too. That's Yura Yura Teikoku, and the song is Yakosei no Ikimono Sanbiki. So what makes Awa Odori special? First, it is the most attended with, like I mentioned before, 1.3 million people swooping in from all over Japan. And other countries too, I imagine. The celebrations literally take place all over the city. As for the origins, it seems a certain daimyo, Hachikusa Iemasu, hosted a drunken celebration on the opening of the Tokushima Castle. And it kind of took hold. If you've ever watched Awa Odori, I really encourage you to spend an entire night watching YouTube videos. But for now, let me entice you with a description that cannot do the dance justice and is probably really just oversimplifying everything. There are very broadly two types of dances. I'm not going to say one is performed all by women and the other all by men, because that's not the case. But the first dance I'll describe is more feminine, with brightly colored or pastel colored yukata. And it's more dainty and controlled, while the second one is much more, I don't know, wild or rough. In the first one, everyone is wearing gorgeous long yukata and those half-moon-shaped woven hats that are called amigasa. But these, unlike the Nishimonnai dance in Akita, are tied just over their chins, and they aren't pulled down so far, so you can see the dancers' faces. These dancers also wear white tabi socks and geta shoes, and the dance seems to be done mostly tilted forward on the shoes and kind of tapping as they dance, hands raised high. It's all very elegant. Now, as beautiful as that is, In the second dance, the more wild one, everyone is wearing either men's yukata or the shorter jinbei dress. They have white tabi socks, no shoes. And they can be carrying a fan or a lantern or nothing at all. What's fun about them, though, is their headwear. They have the cloth tenugui over their head, with the sides twisted and tied under their noses. And the dance is also very low to the ground and energetic. It's very impressive. There's also a funny chant you will hear throughout the event if you do go. It goes like this. Odoru aho ni miru aho. Onaji aho nara. Odorana son son. The dancers are fools. The watchers are fools. Both are fools, so why not dance? So awa odori is just so much fun. So I imagine that's why it's the biggest of the three. So the big three bon odori are the Nishimonnai in Akita, the Gujo odori in Gifu, and the Awa odori in Shikoku. Now, a final absolutely adorable thing I stumbled across while reading about bon odori. I'm not sure how it happened, but some places actually dance to Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi, bon odori. I found some videos on YouTube and watched them, and Living on a Prayer actually syncs very nicely to the dance. I guess it's a thing. There are also places that do dancing to Dancing Queen by ABBA, Staying Alive, Bee Gees, September, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Celebration by Kool and the Gang. That's just to name a few. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm guessing the Buddha won't mind about these variations on a theme. Okay, it's getting late. Look at all these people. Doesn't it feel like there are more here than when we started? Hey, is that great-great-great-grandma Tora? Doesn't she look happy? You know, gatherings being what they are these days, all of us meeting up in the Edo era might sound romantic and everything. But do be careful. Don't wander off. Because, look over there. See that filthy man, skeletal, is dancing somewhat deranged? See the way he stares. Eyes too sharp and unblinking. He doesn't take them off us for a minute, does he? Notice his ratty hair, the pustules all over his skin, the bright red mouth. If you look closely, you can see there's a fine black fog or mist swirling about him. Don't let it touch you. Don't get too close. I don't know this time very well, but it is whispered that he is the god of pox. But there are other monsters out there too, not just smallpox hiding behind masks and friendly faces. There's diphtheria, measles, cholera, dysentery, you get the picture. So please be careful. So that's all for today. Thank you so much for listening. Please consider supporting the show on Patreon if you'd like. Supporters who pledge in euros, pounds, and dollars can now choose their local currency. So now you don't have to worry about the fluctuating exchange rate and extra fees. Everyone, please take care and stay safe. Thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye. You've just reached the end of another episode of Uncanny Japan. Perhaps you'd like more. A monthly folktale translated and retold by me. The occasional binaurally mic'd soundscape like the ones you hear on this show. Or recipes, behind-the-curtain episodes, homemade postcards, and more. If you're interested in that or supporting the show in any way, please search for Uncanny Japan and Patreon. We've got a wonderful group over there. Thank you again for listening, supporting, reviewing, and telling your friends about the show. My name is Teresa Matsura, and I will talk to you again soon. Halfway there. Whoa! We're leaning on a prayer. Keep my head.
Thank you.